Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Friday Agenda.
Time now for the Friday Agenda. All thanks to Signet. Power every moment with a Signet Power Bank. I'm going to start first, Kingy, because you had some strong thoughts, as did a few people, on Nat Fyfe's performance in round one and the way that he should be best utilised moving forward. His coach is Justin Longmuir. He hit back at that criticism yesterday.
That's incredibly unfair that he comes under the spotlight the way he does, and I know he's set a high standard over the years. And with that comes a bit more pressure and expectation. I heard a lot of talk after the pre-season games, he's going to kick 50-plus goals and win the Coleman. And then after one game, he gets criticised as the worst experiment of all time. So, yeah, we won't be shifting him anytime soon.
Don't know if the criticism was directed at Nat per se, but the use of Nat, don't you think?
Well, I don't know who said he's going to kick 50 goals. Did you say that?
I did see someone say that.
Well, that's ridiculous.
We'll track that down.
So my criticism is not of Nathan. It's of Justin. You've got the game's biggest contested beast of the last decade standing at full forward when you're playing St Kilda and just watching your team die a slow death in the midfield, and you don't put him on ball. So you tell me that's maximising an asset. You tell me that that's elite level coaching. It's not. You're leaving Nathan Fyfe forward of centre where he was having a poor day. He was failing down there. So my criticism's not for Nathan Fyfe. I don't think he's a forward. I don't think it's going to work. But that's just an opinion. He's in the seat. He can play his players where he wants to play them. But you lost to St Kilda.
Mm.
If they lose to the Kangaroos playing that same brand of football they played last week, then you will start to question, is it the plan? Is it the motivation? Is he maximising the pieces in terms of the players and where they're playing? The heat will be on Justin. That's my point. Mm. He can do what he wants with his players, but if it doesn't work, don't be surprised if we give you critical analysis.
Are they stubborn coaches? Like, is he more likely to say, no, I'm just going to leave him there now? It's got that feel about him, which I think would be a mistake. I think you've got to have all the options up your sleeve, and one of those has to be putting Nathan Fyfe on ball when he needs to. But you reckon he's going to be stubborn with this and leave him?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to. I mean, playing the Kangaroos is a chance to kick goals, but you know, is it going to, would it be a false read? Would it be a false dawn? I don't know. But my view is not really on all that stuff. What's the reason that your football club are going to win big games? We've just seen Carlton show us why. The two big beasts forward of centre, they've got a midfield that step out of stoppage when they're on. Okay, they're down some manpower at the moment. That's the reason. What's the reason Fremantle could win the flag this year? What would you say?
It would be their defence. It would be their defence, which is strong. I love their back six, but you know, during the week, I said they're like a team with an NFL team with a great defense and no quarterback. Like they don't look threatening at all. The recruitment of Luke Jackson, he's not a forward. He's never been a forward. I don't think he'll ever be a forward. And the thought that you were going to recruit him in to work with Sean Darcy and play him as a 60-70% forward isn't going to happen. He can't mark the ball. He does not mark the ball. He averages 2 marks a game throughout his career and 0.5 of a goal. And then the flow-on effect that that has to Darcy. He's going, well, I'm not a forward either. What do you want me to do?
Has there been a less threatening forward line in the competition for 5-10 years?
Well, that's the thing. Since Matthew Pavlich, they've never been able to replace Pav. They tried to help Pav out, and they've targeted every forward from Jesse Hogan to Travis Cloak over the journey. Was McCarthy, wasn't it, from the Giants? They cannot get a solution to the forward line. And I'm telling you, Luke Jackson isn't going to be that solution.
Can we just have a listen to, there was a question after the game last week, and I just found this answer really interesting.
Bit of both. I don't mind us chipping the ball around. So
But there's got to be some method to it. And I thought we just went lateral to occupy the ball, and that's not really how we want to play. So we need to get the balance right between making the opposition defend and not having enough dare.
So how do you chip the ball around and have dare? I'm confused by that. 136 marks. If that's not the plan, well, you want to see a significant shift in the next 2 weeks.
Yep, they're a close watch, I reckon, Fremantle. A really close watch. Have you got some concerns about Adam Treloar?
I have. He's 30 years of age. He had a very, very limited preseason. They're protective of this guy, I understand. All the conversation around him, whenever he has a hamstring or a calf, is they always water it down at the start. We think it's just a little bit tight. There's awareness there. I think we just think it's a cramp. And then all of a sudden he starts missing footy. So he missed 9 games in 2020, 9 games in 2021. He only missed 1 game last year, and I think he finished 8th in their best and fairest. I'm just concerned that we've seen the best of Adam Treloar as a midfielder. They're now starting to put him into other roles over the last couple of years. So if he's not to be the midfielder that the Dogs need him to be, they've already moved on with Hunter. They've already moved on with Dunkley.
Yep.
Where to then?
Yeah, they actually need him as a midfielder this year with the players that they've lost. Still got this year plus 2 more years on that massive deal that I think Collingwood are still paying some of it for, so that they're going to have to find a way, because you know, 2 3/4 seasons is a long time, or 3 seasons essentially, left on that contract. Terrific finisher. I do like when he's got the ball running inside 50, but that would be a watch as well, as is their game plan, which has been a watch for a long, long time. Why are they so easy to score against, and how confronting would it be for Luke Beveridge to go, okay, we're 15th in the competition last year from defending from our forward 50, and we've got all summer to work on it, and we turn up round one and have Melbourne score 50 points from defensive 50. Now, it's not one game, and you can say, oh, it's only one game. Well, it's not. It's been a long time that this has been an issue for the Western Bulldogs. You've got a summer to work on it, and it fails again in round one. He's got some queries around his coaching, as I've written about in The Age today, Luke Beveridge, and he's got all the assets, but hasn't been able to come up with a blueprint that ultimately gets you success that they need with the squad that they've got.
So we're putting these on the radar, and we'll look at them in the next couple of weeks. So before people say, oh, it's only been one round.
It hasn't with the Dogs, though. And it hasn't been with Treloar.
Well, it's like this group. It's a fresh group, isn't it? I mean, you've got Liam Jones down. It's a fresh group. It's a different looking back six trying to achieve the same thing. But we're just basically saying this is where it is after round one. Let's see where it is after round three, because the season slides quickly.
Yep. If you want to put something on the Friday agenda with us, you can. 1-300-736-736. Just your comment on Taron Thomas and the destruction that it could be at North Melbourne, and whether you've got a feel or any knowledge on whether he plays again, like if you had to lean one way or another, Kingy.
I have no idea. I don't have any information to support any logical opinion, so I prefer to sit out. But in saying that, I would just say that we have – sometimes you can help people, and sometimes you've got to help themselves as well. I mean, if this is what we think it is, then, gee, it'd be incredibly disappointing for the football club to lose someone of that calibre. But, you know, that's where we sit, isn't it? That's the reality.
A few queries coming through on the umpiring last night. The first decision against Sam De Koning for that marking contest, and I'm trying to get the player that it was against, was Harry Mackay, wasn't it? 5 minutes into the game in a marking contest.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do as a defender? And then the other one on Motlop, which was a great tackle. It was Motlop got low. He's not a tall player, and the arm just brushes up against the shoulder. Like, play on, please. So I don't know. My concern with 4 umpires, they'll be trigger happy, because umpires can't just sit there placid. They have to be involved in the game. I feel like they're involved too much, and I've got some sympathy for big defenders who can't seem to do a lot in marking contests anymore.
Yeah. No, it's a valid discussion. Don't touch the umpires, though, mate. They come from everywhere. They come from everywhere to let you give you some feedback.
No, I'll 100% touch the umpires. If they're not doing the job that they should be doing, you got to call it out. And the 50-meter penalty, just just holistically in the game is it doesn't – you want rules to enhance the game. 50-metre penalties don't do that. And if in doubt, just let the player run through. And if they're getting out of the protected zone, let them run through. And let's not be trigger happy on 50-metre penalties. I think there was four last night. Four's too many. One's too many. 50-metre penalties in the game. But have your say on that. The umpiring, four umpires, how do you see it? 1-300-736-736. Martin Pike is going to join us. This is the Friday agenda. Is there anything else you want to put on the radar ahead of round two?
I want to ask you, because you've been hot on this, are you thrilled with what Essendon have done with Jake Stringer?
In what way?
Well, the standard setting, not just rushing him back. He's been medically declared right to play. What are you laughing at?
I think he was injured, wasn't he?
He was injured, but it wasn't as if they said,
Jake, you're out of shape. I'm not selecting you until you hit some fitness standards, which is what I wanted to do. So no,
that's
I'm
what
not
they're saying now, though. That's what they're saying now. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's medically cleared to play.
Okay.
Brad Scott said yesterday at a press conference that he could have selected him this week to play because he's medically right to go. And I think in the past they have selected him.
So is he playing any form of football this weekend? Is there a VFL game on?
I'm not 100% sure on that. But if he's not, he'd be
training.
Yes. So that's why I thought you would like that.
No, well, if that's the case, and if he's going to play somewhere, if there's a game on and he's playing in that game, yes, I'll be thrilled with that. I think that is the right thing to do.
You're now going to do your research as well. Bloody hell!
These Bombers fans will know. But Bombers fans, the VFL game on this week, will Jake Stringer play?
Where's Jake playing?
You watch the Timber Techs light up because the people are smarter than us. It's time now for the Sports Bet update with Josh Jenkins.